been looking at mercy. So far, we've looked at Old Testament idea and thoughts about mercy. And one of the things that I think about is the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. And in Matthew chapter 5, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I think that as believers, as we hear that passage of Scripture, maybe if we are those who mourn or are poor in spirit or are persecuted for righteousness' sake, we could take comfort in this passage of Scripture. But I would encourage you, as you read down through that passage of Scripture, and you see the Beatitudes, you think about those words, and you try to take one of them, and you try to say, is that something that I can grab onto in my life and can be what I strive for in my life? Personally, I have underlined and highlighted and notes by it, and the one that I would like to characterize my life, and I don't know that I always do a good job, but it's the one that I would love to be a part of my heart, and the thing that I long for is verse 6. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." I want to be known as somebody, and I want to be someone who lives out that verse, who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. And maybe there's somebody here, as you read down through that, you'd say, I would like to be the person who could say in his life, "Blessed are the merciful." And I want to be somebody who is always striving to be merciful. That's what I want. That's what I desire in life. And we've been talking about this idea, this thought of mercy. And this morning, we heard definitions of grace and mercy from our missionary speaker. Definitions that I've said many times and I've heard many times in my life. Mercy is God withholding deserved punishment. And grace is God's unmerited favor given to us, even though we didn't deserve it. And mercy and grace are a big part of our lives, and we've heard that. But one of the things that I want to do with these words in the Bible, like grace, mercy, is I would like to be able to, if we heard that word, we would instantly in our mind not just hear the definition, maybe definitions and words and stuff are good for you, and they bring out the heart of it, and you're very good with words. But I'd love for us in our mind to get a picture of what that looked like. Someone went to Albert Einstein one time, and they asked him, they said, "Mr. Einstein, could you please tell me how many feet are in a mile?" Albert Einstein said, "That's a ridiculous question." You can only hear somebody like Albert Einstein, if you read some of the stuff that he's said and he's written, say something, "That's a ridiculous question. It doesn't matter how many feet are in a mile. What matters is that you can take the information that anybody can look up and take the words and find meanings and definitions and to be able to apply them to something useful." And so when we talk about mercy, we can know and we can talk about, and it's not bad for us to know, we ought to know what mercy is. as we hear, it is God withholding his wrath that we do deserve in our life. That we know what mercy looks like. And then we can turn around in our own life and be merciful and talk about God's great mercy and understand it. And as we pray about it and think about it and we contemplate it, we could say, we have a merciful God, and this is so amazing. And I know what mercy looks like. That's why a few weeks ago, as we were talking about mercy, you remember that I put that picture of the pregnant woman. And we picture that as God being merciful to someone who can't care for themselves, picks them up and nurtures them and cares for them and helps them. When if they're left to themselves, they couldn't ever make it on their own. That's what mercy looks like. And hopefully we get a picture in our mind. And as I took us through mercy in the Old Testament, I got us to the mercy seat. And we took a look in the temple. And then we saw that in the New Testament, Jesus Christ, he is our mercy seat. He's the one that died on the cross to pay for our sin. And we see the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. And we understand it's the fulfillment of this all. And God taking that wrath of God upon himself. It's the Son. And we begin to think, mercy. It's awesome. It's an amazing thing. And it's something that we need. And last week, this is what I wrote, I had up here last week. Mercy is kindness exercised toward the miserable. It includes pity, compassion, forbearance, and gentleness, which the scriptures so abundantly ascribe to God. And those are great words. I could never, in my wildest dreams, come up with something so eloquent. I just sometimes, like when I write those prayer focus updates each night. I'll type them out and I reread them before I send them. And I go, I've just got such a weird way with words. That did not come out of my head the way that I had intended it to. What? You say like President Trump? Is that what? Better than Trump. Oh, okay. Yeah. And as we... Sometimes in our own life, the words that, you know, maybe you have a difficult time with words too. My wife was mentioning that today. Me personally, I'm a quantity type of person over a quality type of person. God has blessed some people as artists, and their ability to describe and picture things and I love the Word of God, and I love Christian artwork and reading the eloquent things that people write. I mean, do you remember Billie Jo Yeomans and how God gave her a gift with the written word, and how amazing. But I one of the things that I would like to do for myself and for you is when you hear the word mercy. And next, after we finish mercy, when you hear grace, you instantly think in your mind what that looks like, and you know how to apply it. And I hope that's maybe one of the things that we can talk about tonight. So let's look at some ideas here. This is what we look at when we see mercy in the New Testament. There's a couple of words. The first one meaning to show mercy, to show pity, to have compassion, or to be merciful. And the other word carries the concept of compassion or pity. So we kind of see New Testament mercy having this idea of having a divine type of compassion or pity. And if you could picture a holy God standing above this world, and if he were to look into our lives, that they're pretty pitiful, aren't they? Compared to God. Compared to God. And we are people that absolutely need compassion. But as we look at this word, this attribute of God, that God is merciful, is something in a small way we can turn around and we can display this to others. And so I have three things I'd like to look at, for us to look at. Three examples of mercy in the New Testament. And then what I'd like us to do is to look at some verses and some ways that we can have that kind of mercy. The first one I'd like us to look at is in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. The lame man healed. Let's turn our Bibles over to this passage of Scripture and let's read it. Acts chapter 3. Verses 1 to 11. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and having fixed his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed." And as we see this passage of Scripture here, we see, we're very familiar with this story. When we think about Peter and John coming to the temple, and here is this lame man laying there begging for money. Could you imagine what it must be like to beg for money like that? I don't know if probably there's someone here that has had to, at some point in their life, go out and, like this man, similar to this man, beg for money. But as I think about that, and I see someone in need of compassion, someone in need of us seeing them in their pitiful state and going out of our way to help them and to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ that has the power to change their life in both this world and the next. We need to go out of our way to be someone who is merciful. We heard about our missionaries today, about how a church came down and said, we would like to go out of our way to help you, and we'd like to purchase 300 pizzas. I don't know if Brian didn't get a chance to share kind of the whole story, but he said that those pizzas were gone within 45 minutes. And they got an opportunity to try and share that this was from a church, and this was people trying to get you to come out to church. And there's an opportunity to go to a group that is pitiful and to show the compassion and to show the love of Christ and try to make a difference. That's an awesome opportunity. Anytime we get an opportunity like that in this life, we should take that opportunity. Whatever the situation or the need is. But it's important that when we go out of our way to show pity and compassion, that we do it in the name of Jesus Christ, as these people did here, as we try to make someone's quality of life better, that the gospel is at the center of it all, and that we do it appropriately, and that we're careful as we do these things. Because sometimes we have the best intentions, but when we don't do these things appropriately, we just continue the problem. I've got a book, if anyone would ever like to read it. It's a book that I've read recently that I think can make a real difference in you showing mercy. It's a book that I'd encourage you to read if you'd ever want to go on a missions trip or would like to do some ministry to try and help the poor. It's a book called When Helping Hurts. And I read it this last year, and it talks about how sometimes when we go out of our way to show compassion, to show mercy, we need to be careful as we do that and to make sure that things are centered around the gospel, and that our goal and our desire in trying to help the poor and the needy is to bring them to Christ and show them that they can find new life in Christ, because that has the real power to change someone's heart, life, and soul. These guys here, Peter and John, in this passage of Scripture, something that you ought to underline and just think, as they said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You see, they offered him, this lame man, Jesus Christ. And they offered him healing in his life. If he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, and found that he could now walk, his life would be totally transformed. And when someone who is being merciful steps into your life and goes out of their way to show mercy, the kind of mercy that only Jesus Christ could show on the cross, it can make a total difference and an eternal difference in their life. And it's very, very important that we do that. One of the verses that I love, and as we're talking about grace, I'm going to spend a little bit more time on this verse, but a verse I'd like us to look at is Titus 3:5. Titus 3:5. I do not remember memorizing this verse when I was young. Growing up in Christian school, going here to church, I probably did. It probably was a memory verse sometime along the way. But I remember when I memorized this verse was as an Awana leader. It was one of the first Awana verses that the kids had to memorize when they were in a fourth and fifth, as they were coming up into third grade and into the Awana program. One of the first verses that they would encounter was Titus chapter 3. I don't know if it's still that way, the new way they do the books, but in the old books, this was one of the first verses that they would have the kids memorize. And I remember seeing that verse and going over and over and over it with kids and learning that verse by myself and saying, wow, this is an amazing verse of Scripture. And I've used it so many times since learning it back in those days working as an Awana leader. It says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. If we are going to show mercy to the world around us, if we are going to be someone who listens to that verse that says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy, and we're going to go out and we're going to be someone who tries to live a merciful life, we need to remember mercy's place in salvation through Jesus Christ.
We got to think about what we were talking about last week, about Jesus Christ being the mercy seat, and about how his shed blood on the cross makes a difference in our heart. Mercy is also what causes us to be born again. It's what causes us to be born again. Let's turn over our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day." It's mercy that causes us to be born again. And I said this to my kids in seventh grade about 10 times in the last 2 weeks. Do we know what the Bible is talking about when it says that we need to be born again, to have new life in Christ, life in God's family, abundant life that is eternal? If you got it, you know it, and you know that it's the greatest kind of life. And it's not something that you'd ever want to go back on. But mercy is at the source of being born again. Have you been born again? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And you know for certain that you're on your way to heaven. And as I think about this, I think about the fact that God desires mercy and not sacrifice. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 13. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 13 says, "But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." When I think about that, and I think about the fact that God, when he came to this world, he came to save the lost and to give them a new kind of life. To look down on us when we, like that beggar, we're sitting outside of, we weren't sitting outside the temple, but in our lives, we were beggars in need of salvation, in need of new life in Christ. And he came to this world to offer it to us. Amen. Have you been born again? Note that it's by the mercy of God that we are saved. And so I hope that as we've sat here tonight and we've talked about mercy, and through the last couple weeks, and we've still got another week where we're going to talk about mercy, but we begin to get a picture in our mind of what mercy is. Yeah, it absolutely is. God withholding his wrath that we deserve because of the sin in our life. But it's a God who looks at us like the beggar on the side of the road and says, "I'm going to put someone in your life to point you towards new life in Christ, to have you be born again. And I'm going to look at you and I'm going to have compassion on you. And how I'm going to do that is I am going to be the mercy seat. I am going to be the one that will pay for your sins on the cross. And that precious blood that is spilt will break the barrier that sin has put between a holy God and a sinful, pitiful man. And then I'm going to care for you like a mother would for an unborn child. I'm going to carry you, nourish you, protect you when you can't care for yourself. That's what mercy is. And I hope that maybe through these last couple weeks, in our lives, we've got a better picture of mercy. So as we walk down the road and we meet and we talk with someone, that we get a picture of what true mercy is. Mercy is more than me as a teacher, you know, giving someone an extra night to do their homework. Mercy is more than you as a boss giving somebody a third and fourth chance, even though they've been late for work over and over again. Mercy is more than you as a parent letting your child make a mistake again and helping them up. Mercy is what Jesus Christ did for us. It's the gospel. It's new life. And it's taking someone in a pitiful, terrible state and picking them up and carrying them when they can't take another step. I hope we get a visual idea so we can be practicers and people who practically go out and use mercy, not just head knowledge, but actually use mercy on a day-to-day basis. Let's pray. Dearly Father, I thank you for your mercy. I need it so much. Lord, often as I think of myself, and I'm sure most of the people here would agree, when I take a look back at my own life in an honest way, Lord, I'm no better than a beggar laying outside of the temple. And if there's anything good in this life that I have, it's that someone came along one day and said, silver and gold I do not have, but this I do, in the name of Jesus Christ. And they began to share the gospel with me. And I, that lost sinner, stood up on my feet and I began to follow Jesus Christ. I thank you for your mercy. I pray that you'll help me to be merciful this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's turn our hymnals to number 520. The longer I serve him, the longer I serve him. And let's stand up, and there's just two short verses, and we can sing both of them this evening.
Blessed are the merciful,
for they shall obtain mercy. Help us to be merciful this week. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.